Greetings, one and all. Welcome back to the Mitchell Telecom Podcast. It's state basketball tournament time. With the girls taking center stage this week, Thursday through Saturday, from Brookings. We'll have three sites across the state, but the AA's will be in Brookings. So I thought it'd be a great idea to break down the AA field. And our friend Steve Morgan, gracious enough to join us. Hi, Steve.
Hello there, Scott.
Steve is uniquely qualified because he's the sports director for KORN, so he watches all this stuff all year round.
Absolutely.
And then basically tells us what's happening as it's happening.
I try to, yes. that's what I get paid for, yes.
So,
I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a great AA girls tournament.
I think so, too. You know, and it's what's really nice about it is from a local standpoint, you know, Mitchell's in a really unique place that they haven't been in a while, and with a really, really good ball club that's been, for me, unbelievable to watch all year. So it'll be interesting to see when you get out onto the center stage in front of, you know, when it really, really matters. How's it going to shake out?
This is when it really matters, is this next 3 days, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And if you would have told me coming in that Mitchell would be 21-1, I would have called you crazy, because I thought maybe, you know, without Macy Miller, first month of the season, I thought maybe we had five or six losses throughout the course of the year. But to go through the ESD undefeated at 14-0 and only have one stumble, and that was a game we wouldn't even play like we normally have been playing. And that was against Sioux Falls Lincoln on the road back, I think, January 2nd, something like that. 21-1 is a great record. And yes, they're the number one seed. Yes, they've been pretty much dominating everybody this year, but it still has that open feel of the state AA tournament. But yeah, they're fun to watch. I think we have the best 1-2 punch in the state. Carrie Young, Macy Miller's now back. I didn't think she was 100%, but I think she's getting there. She might be 95%, but still, I'll take a 95% Macy over, you know, 100% anybody. Yeah, absolutely. So 16 in a row, Mitchell has won. Great leadership with Carrie Young. Only have one senior on this team. So there's the future's bright here for Mitchell.
You talk about the 1-2 punch, which is huge for Mitchell, and it's hard to so hard to defend. But I think what's probably set them apart is how good they defend. I mean, it is their defense equivalents into so much offense throughout the course of a ball game. It's insane.
Yeah, their defense turns into offense because their best thing is when we get out and run on the court. And it's wild. I think it was against might have been the first round game against Huron in the districts, where we went from up 7 to up 20 just like that, just because of the full court pressure defense, the easy transition buckets, and it's not just a couple of kids, it's the whole team. It's in your shorts type of defense, and causing some problems. And we've seen that a little bit with Aberdeen. They handled it a little bit better than they did at the end of the regular season when we beat them by 20. It was a good ball game against Aberdeen for the district championship. But defense turns into offense for Mitchell, and if we have a solid defensive effort, we're going to be pretty tough to be knocked out here in the state tournament.
I agree. You know, you talk about Macy Miller and her being 100%. I think, and I'm following you on Twitter, I've seen this a handful of times, I think Megan Farnham is much of a defensive difference maker as the 2-1-2 punches on the offensive side, where she just usually gets the best perimeter player on the other team and guards and just hounds. And I think it's such a integral part of their attack that, you know, she has been a real difference maker, especially as the season's kind of gone on here.
Yeah, she's gotten stronger as the season went on. I think at first she was a little apprehensive in what she can do. Not that what she's allowed to do, just what she can do physically. And she's really, really good at the when you go man-to-man. When we're at zone, we got Macy and carrying the top of the zone. She kind of lays back in the wings a little bit, which is kind of good for her. She can jump out of the, like I call it, jump out of the trees.
Yeah.
And there she is and gets the steal for you. So, yeah, she's a hard-nosed player. She maybe give you, 5 to 7, 8 points a ball game, you know, but that's not what we're asking her to do. We're asking her to guard the best player on the other team and do it for a full 4 quarters, and she's done that this year for the Colonels.
They've been great to watch. You know, you noted that they've won 16 straight. I looked back, and they haven't allowed more than 50 points since the end of January, so going on a month and a half. They haven't allowed over 50 points.
Well, I ride the bus every once in a while with the Colonel Girdles on some longer trips to Aberdeen, to Pierre, that kind of stuff. And I sit right behind Coach Wes Morgan, and I said, I think if this team can hold any other team 50 or below, because they always set goals every ball game, how much they're going to score, how much they want the other team or hold them to. And I said, if you hold a team below 45 even, but 50 below, this team's going to be hard to beat. And that's, I think, what he said as a goal for the team, no matter who they're playing. Hey, 50 and below, That's our goal. And you're right. You look at the scores lately, we've beaten by 20-some points, you know. So holding them under 50, and it might be kind of tough here coming up in the state tournament because there are some powerful teams coming up here in the state tournament that we're going to have our work cut out for us, but I'm looking forward to the challenge here at Frost Arena.
Yeah, the last time they gave up 50 points was to Brandon, who's no slouch. Then after that, here are the scores they've given up: 27, 36, 41, 31, 41, 40, 38, and 48. So they only got close to 50 one time, 48 points. So, I mean, they have really, really defended, and it's probably the piston that makes it go as much as anything, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The defense is there, and, you know, they always say defense wins championships, and, boy, I sure hope we can hang that championship up Saturday night and bring it back home here to Mitchell. It's been a while that, you know, I've been through the bleak year. Well, I ended the glory years with Mitchell girls basketball back when Coach Munson got out of it, and we had Deb Thill in there, and then we had a whole slew of other coaches. But when Deb Thill left with the Hoffman twins, it was great. And then we went through some bleak years. So I've been there, done that. Now it's nice to see this program turn around, and I think it's going to be here to stay for a while because the younger program is going to be pretty good coming up too.
Yep, you've seen how you know, early in the season, you know, played at seven people, heavy rotation. Macy came back, and that made it eight. And then they've even added on, where you'll see players that come off the bench and they might play 5-10 minutes, but they give you the same type of intensity. You know, it seems like the bench has expanded, which is really nice to see as the season's gone on.
Yeah, he's still going to go with his core, probably eight players, and I think the three off the bench, we're talking Courtney Moore, who was starting when Macy Miller was out. Boy, what a great job she comes in off the bench. She comes in, gets great minutes for Dana Mashashak or Kristen Sabers, but Courtney Moore comes off the bench. Berkeley Refelt and Tori Mickles are the main three. Again, a little bit of playing time. Taylor Valesky may get a little playing time as Tori Hellman. But really, those three off the bench, eight solid, will play strong for Mitchell. We need that because the defense that we play, as we're talking about, really wears this team down. I could have really saw it in the Huron game. Yes, we beat them by 20 points, but when those girls were done, they left it all on the court. It was such a draining game because they played so intense, and I think we're going to need that for the state AA tournament coming up to have all those eight girls play, if not 9 or 10, if we can. So.
Well, you got 3 days back-to-back-to-back, which is unique. You don't ever do that throughout the season, so it's it'll be interesting. But let's look at their let's look at the path a little bit. Their opening round game is against Rapid City Central, who is the 8 seed. They are their record is 11-12, and they advanced through the region. They knocked off Pierre to make it into the state. They lost their last four to end the regular season, and then kind of got right at the very end where they won 2 out of 3 to make it in. They played Mitchell to an overtime game back in December. So these two have gotten back together and earlier in the season for Rapid City. That was the third game of the year. For Mitchell, it was the third game of the year. So if I remember that game, the Colonels were lucky to win.
Yeah.
I believe they had free throws at the end of the game. Is that right?
Yep, to win it. And I don't think they come and surprised us. It was just one of those deals where they were really on top of their game that night. We were coming off two big wins over Huron and Pierre to open the season. People were talking how good we're going to be, you know, a little bit. So we won that game 55-54 in overtime December 16th against Rapid City Central. We are way better than back in December. I mean, yes, we started out great in December, but we are a way better team than that back then than we are now. I mean, we're better now than we were back then. But Rapid City Central, no slouch. They knocked off Washington first round last year in the state tournament. Well, that was the number 1 and 8 seed there. They beat Sioux Falls O'Gorman, which is a state tournament team. Granite O'Gorman, they didn't have Chandler Nielsen at that time. She is back in the lineup now for Sioux Falls O'Gorman. But still, they have a good quality win. They beat Stevens earlier this year. They lost to them in the district championship. That's why they had to go through the region to beat Pierre. They have no seniors on their squad, so they're very young too. So don't overlook Rapid City Central, because again, like you said, they get hot, a team gets hot, puts the things together. You know, we could be sitting in the consolation bracket, but I really think Mitchell, I think with the strong team they have, at least can get through this first round against Rapid City Central.
I agree. It's you do note that you know, as young as Mitchell is, there is a ton of young, really high-quality basketball players in the state. You talk about Rapid City Central without a senior. Mitchell's got a ton coming back. But I think that's going to be one of the common themes as we go through some of these teams, is just how young and how bright – double A basketball is in the state.
Yeah, and then of course you're going to find a lot of these teams to have that one or two seniors that lead you, and that's what you need. Who's leading Mitchell? Well, we got a bunch of juniors and sophomores leading Mitchell, and no slight against Dana Mashashek. I think she's a spark. I think she plays with a high level of energy each and every ball game. She's our lone senior, so no slight against her, but you know, you're looking at the juniors right now leading Mitchell, and then you got some sophomores and freshmen down the road that, you know, I'm hoping this thing keeps this train rolling for a few more years.
So that'll be the game number one. So that's 1 o'clock on Thursday from the Swift-Tel Center. No, let's check that, from Frost Arena,
yep,
right?
Yep.
In Brookings. Game number two, so assuming the seeds hole, Mitchell advances, Mitchell would play the winner out of Sioux Falls, Roosevelt, and Aberdeen Central, which is a unique matchup.
Yep. Sioux Falls, Roosevelt beat Aberdeen Central 62-57 in overtime just a few weeks ago, February 14th. Roosevelt's won 7 out of 8. They're led by a senior in Sydney Rome. She's just been playing phenomenal. Tegan Larson is just a freshman. She's about 6'1"-ish, 6'2", great volleyball player, good basketball player as well. She's Cody Larson's sister. Cody Larson's playing for Florida down there, so great family history of basketball players. But anyways, so you're talking about the veteran Rome to the freshman to Larson. That's what they got for Roosevelt. Aberdeen, boy, they started out with the house of Florida. I mean, this was on fire, and I really thought coming down to the last game of the regular season that Mitchell and Aberdeen was going to play for something. You know, district, our number one seed in the district, ESD conference title, but that was not the case. They kind of sputtered, but they're very big. They're aggressive. They've lost 4 out of 7, however, including Mitchell in the district championship, but they did come back and spank Sturgis to get to the state tournament. Sammy Connect, she was the transfer that from Falkton that moved in to Aberdeen this year, just a junior. She's 6'2". She had a great ball game against Mitchell, I think 24 points out of their whatever 40-some points they had in the district championship for Aberdeen.
48.
So yeah, she had half of their points, and she's really, really talented. But she'd be a great first-round matchup, 4 and 5. It always is. And I'm seeing it going to go on to the wire again. But, you know, I like Aberdeen, but I have to go with Roosevelt with their experience.
It looks like Roosevelt has the ability to put up a lot of points. They've been over 60 10 times. They were 8-2 in those games, and then it looks at times they have trouble defending, as they've given up more than 50 14 times, and they're about 500 in those games. Yeah. So, like you noted, I think it comes down to the transition game for Roosevelt versus the height and size, because Aberdeen's about as big as anybody.
Yeah, they got, you know, I told you that Sammy Connect, 6'2". They got a couple 6-footers with the
sisters.
Shoneman twins.
Shoneman twins, and then the Niederbomber.
Niederbomber comes in, too, off the bench. So you got those big trees inside as well. Then they got some good aggressive guards as well. So, and what they've been struggling with, Aberdeen, is the guard play of actually getting the ball into their post. That's why Mitchell forced 27 turnovers in that last regular season game. We beat them by 20-some points because their guards couldn't take care of the basketball. And we had a bunch of steals, I think 16 in that game against Aberdeen. So that's going to be the factor, is the pressure of Roosevelt, if Aberdeen can handle it in that second game of the day.
And you've got some, the Flaccus girl handles the ball, and the Hannigan girl from Aberdeen. So it'll kind of come down to probably guard play.
Yep.
From Aberdeen, if they can get it into their size. Because I think that was the difference between the last regular season game, for the Colonels anyway, is they just neutralized the size through, you know, pressuring the wings. They just couldn't get the ball in the posts.
No.
Turned the ball over a ton of times,
yeah,
and we're off and running. So I think Roosevelt and Aberdeen is going to be the game of the day.
I think so. It's going to be very intriguing, and it's going to be, I think, close, and it's going to be a coin toss of who can win that 4-5 seed game at 2:45 Thursday.
So then the night session comes. The 2-seed Sioux Falls Washington takes on cross-town rival Sioux Falls O'Gorman in the 2-7. So on paper, 2 versus 7, 2 should walk away with it, right?
Not necessarily. Washington is a dangerous team, but they went 1-1 against O'Gorman this year. So they split their regular season. O'Gorman started off a little sluggish, 1-5 start, and the reason why, again, they didn't have Chandler Nielsen. She's just a tremendous basketball player. She can kind of do it all, right-handed, left-handed, not really a post-up girl, kind of likes to shoot it from the outside but can slash to the hoop. But they're on a roll right now as O'Gorman. They won their district, knocked off, I think, is the second-best team in the state is Washington. I really do believe that. We played them, Mitchell did, in the regular season. They had a Weber girl. Sarah Zirpa went down late in the ballgame with an elbow injury, and then when she went down, we really kind of took over in that ballgame.
Yep.
They're very scrappy, but I would love to have seen Hannah Weber, Sarah Zirpa the entire ballgame, toe-to-toe, Mitchell Kearns. We had Macy back then just to see how we – but it just the elements weren't there.
Yep.
So, but watching them throughout the course of the season, they had a couple of stumbles there late in the year, did Washington. But you're going to get that. You're going to get kind of complacent. They got the district title kind of wrapped up in the GDC. So they did get kind of complacent a little bit. But, it's going to be an interesting matchup. I would not be surprised if O'Gorman snuck this one out in that first round. I'm not picking them, but if they would win, I'll go, okay, I missed that one, but I wouldn't be surprised if that happened. Yeah.
I think logic, I think you're summing that up correctly. I think logic just says, well, 2 seed versus the 7 seed, 2 seeds should win out, but you only got to go back about a week and a half to a 47-43 O'Gorman victory, it's happened.
Yeah, just recently.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't like it was a long time ago. We're a different team. No, that happened just a few weeks ago. So yeah, they're very familiar with one another. I think they're very even, and just a matter of who wants it more come Thursday.
Washington, 4 losses on the year, 18-4, 2 seed. Their 4 losses were to Eastview, Minnesota, Mitchell, and then they lost 2 at the end of the year. The last 2 regular season games to Roosevelt and O'Gorman. And like you said, they're led by Sarah Zirpel, who does a little bit of everything, 13 points, a couple assists, 3 rebounds, 2.5 steals.
Yeah.
Good ball player, I think, headed to Northern.
I'll go with you on that. Yeah, you bet. Look at you doing the research. That's good. But Hannah Weber, we didn't get to see her, but she's a good post player. She may not put up 15, 20 points a ball game, but the presence and the talent inside. What she did last year in the state tournament was fabulous as a junior in a backup. I should say backup role. They had two girls. I think one went to Northern State, and the other one went to South Dakota State off that team. Hannah Walters.
And Rachel Walters.
Rachel Walters, yep. Yeah, not Hannah. That's here in town, I think.
Yeah.
But Rachel Walters and the other one, I can't think of her, big, tall, blonde-haired girl, went up to Northern State. And so anyways, now Hannah Weber's kind of coming to her own a little bit. So we'll see what happens in that matchup, 7 o'clock Thursday with Washington and O'Gorman.
And O'Gorman, 13-9, very respectable record for a 7 seed, got hot late. You know, they dropped 4 out of 5.
Yeah, they're 1-5 to start the year, so technically they're 12-4
yeah.
In the last 16 ball games. So.
They appear to be a team that wants to just kind of defense and grind it out. You know, they don't score much more over 50 points ever, you know, and at the same time, there's a handful of games where they won at 43-42, 40-38. You know, I mean, it just seems like they want to grind it out. Knock down, drag out.
Well, you know, they hang around, and that's the main thing. You hang around to the end, and you never know what's going to happen. You pull out in overtime. You pull out the last second shot. You get that extra free throw. You know, like us in Rapid City Central. You know, back in game 3 of the year, you hang around, things will happen. So,
tough luck kid is Brandon Valley. Just that, is Washington, Yankton, and Brandon all in the same district.
Yeah, that was tough.
So they're the 3 seed. They'll be the nightcap. 8:45, Brandon versus Rapid City Stevens.
Yeah, and you throw in that district too. You had Lincoln in
yeah.
there as well, which Lincoln beat us.
Yep.
I mean, and they're a pretty good team too. And I can't believe 2 teams are sitting at home. Yankton is one, by the way. Just getting off topic here. Yankton and Lincoln are 2 teams sitting at home. Who would you replace them with? I don't know, maybe Central Stevens. You got to get one of those teams in because of the district champion, but it's tough not to have a Yankton because they were so good, so dangerous. And then, Lincoln, they can be good at times. But this last matchup here, Brandon Valley, Rapid City Stevens, I thought coming in Stevens, it was going to be their year because they had Margaret McLeod, 6'1", 6'2", going to USD. I thought she was going to be dominant with Clapperot, Katie, I think her first name is, out west. I thought with those two together, again, 1-2 punch, they're going to be good. They had some little adversity. I don't know what's going on out there, but something was going on all this season. Now McLeod's hurt. She sat out the first round of the district. She came back to play in the championship, but not a whole 100%, so I don't know what her status is for the state tournament, but I'd like to see her 100% because she's a good post player inside. But Heidi Hoff, Brandon Valley, went off. They're the defending champions. She went off last year for 3 games. One was against the Mitchell Colonels.
Yeah.
And it was just one of those days or one of those tournaments that they went from really nobody mentioning them as a 5th seed, I think they were a year ago, to winning the state title in a matter of 3 days and put Heidi Hoff on the map. Yeah, she was good. She was an okay player. But because of that state tournament, she got that USD scholarship, locked that in, and won a state title for them. But Brandon Valley, defending champs, they beat Rapid City Stevens 70-62 in a shootout back on January 21st. So they are familiar. with Rapid City Stevens. I'm looking forward to two USD recruits, Heidi Hoff, Margaret McLeod. They're going to do battle. I hope Margaret's 100% and ready to go. But it's a 3-6 seed again, and you know, hopefully ESD can come through and get another team in the semifinals if we get Mitchell over there. And who knows, maybe Aberdeen can get over there as well and get three of the four teams in the semifinals all from the ESD conference.
The Brandon Valley Lynx come in 17-6. They had the exact same tire seed points as Sioux Falls Roosevelt, but one head to head, so they get the nudge.
Yeah, if you don't go play head to head, then they go by common opponents.
Yep.
If that doesn't work, then it's a coin flip. Class A girls, they actually had three teams tied for the number one seed, and then the next three tied for the fourth seed. That's how close they are. Kind of crazy in Class A, but anyways, here in Double A, Brandon Valley got the nod. And would you rather be the third seed taking on Stevens and have to go up against Washington or Gorman, or would you rather, you know, get the fourth seed and play Aberdeen in the first round and get Mitchell maybe in the second round? So it's kind of a toss-up there. I think for Brandon Valley's sake, they're happy where they're at because I think they know they can beat Stevens, which they showed they did earlier this year, put up 70 points. It's more than just Heidi Hoff, too, by the way. She does some crazy things in the court, and I say crazy in a good sense. I mean, she'll twist, she'll turn, she'll toss things up behind her head, behind her back, and it's like, oh, she's been doing that her whole career. It's not like she just brought this up now. She's just been doing that, and I don't know if they will fine-tune her at USD or not down in Vermillion, but she's definitely a good player, and something about the state tournament, and of course is back in Brookings this year.
Yep.
So that's where she had an awesome three games last year. Maybe she can do it again this year for the Lynx sake, not for the Colonel's sake.
Yeah. Hoff, 21.2 points, 7.6 rebounds, 5.2 assists. So it sounds like it starts, middle, and end. Their success is tied with her.
Yeah, everything goes through her. And they got another one, a Kane girl. I think it's Allison Kane. Not sure what her first name is. But anyways, she's another good outside shooter. But the offense goes through Heidi Hoff. Defensive-wise, yeah, I don't know if you look at their schedule and what the scores they put up, but 70-62s, you're going to see a lot. I think a lot of those where they give up a lot of points, they got to outslug people in order to win. But again, you hang around enough, good things will happen, and it has happened for Brandon Valley with, 16, 17 wins.
Yeah. You know, and you look through the teams that they got beat by, you know, there's no really ugly loss. You know, they got beat by Yankton twice. They got beat by Washington twice.
Mitchell twice.
By Mitchell twice. And they got knocked off by Aberdeen Central once. So, there's no real harm in those seven losses to those four teams.
No, and a lot of them are here in the state AA tournament. So, I think they got a shot at defending this title. And, with those six, seven losses that they have, then they kind of fell off that radar a little bit because everybody's looking at Mitchell, Washington, Yankton, Aberdeen was up there, and fifth team, I can't remember who might have been Lincoln, I'm not sure, or Gorman. So nobody really was thinking about Brandon Valley. But again, that's how they were last year.
Yeah.
Nobody was thinking about them, and then bam, they come win three games in a row and won a state title.
They've Stevens comes in, six winners of six straight, 10-3 down their last 13, 13-9 overall. Good sixth seed. I mean, that'll be a nice first round game.
Yeah, it should be. They have the height. They're going to go if Margaret McLeod is healthy. They're going to pound it into her, and I think when they get into her, good things happen because she's a good post player. Stevens have won six in a row coming in too, so they seem like they're starting to turn that page and they're getting on track like I thought they would all year long. I didn't think that they would be 13-9 or whatever they are right now. I thought maybe might be hovering around that 18-19-20 win season, but wasn't the case. But they made it the state tournament, and I'm just looking forward to a good 3 days, and we hope to have the best team win for the state AA title.
Any other big thoughts on what's going on?
You know, I think Brookings is a great place to have it. I think Frost is a great venue for all you Jackrabbit fans that go up there and watch that. You know what kind of atmosphere you get. I think it's a great setting for AA basketball, and I really think we got probably six, seven of the best teams in. Again, a Yank that I'm mentioning too, but you throw them out. We got a pretty good feel for AA girls basketball, and you look at from 21 wins down to 11 wins for the 1-8 seed, and we'll just throw the dice on the floor and see what happens when the dust settles on Saturday night. So.
What's your plan for coverage?
We're going to have all Mitchell Colonels on KORN AM 1490 on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We do a little bit of a Tournament Fever show from Brookings on Friday and Saturday mornings. 10 o'clock. That'll be on both KORN and Q107.
Where do you originate that out of?
The Starlights Inn and Suites there in Brookings.
Right out of the old hotel.
Yeah, right there at the hotel, the poolside. We set up a table and a bunch of chairs, and Cardinal fans come, and we'll have the South Dakota State coaches on. We'll have some Hall of Fame people there as well that are going to the Hall of Fame of Basketball Hall of Fame. We also have Myron Moen. He is the head of the Basketball Hall of Fame. He'll be there talking about his inductees for this year coming up on March 24th. So we'll have that, plus Bob Lowry from the South Dakota High School Activities Association will be on Saturday morning. So we do that every year, and of course we haven't done it for the girls for quite a few years because they haven't been there.
Yep.
But the last 2 years they have been, and of course we'll do the same thing with the boys out west in Rapid City. That'll be a Thursday, Friday, Saturday Tournament Fever show. So looking forward to that. It's kind of the reward at the end of the season to get your teams into the state tournament and, you know, have a little fun and have some great team spirit and hopefully you know, cheer on the Colonels for a state title.
What's the tournament fever end up being, an hour?
Hour-long, yep, each day, 10 to 11 in the morning. Used to go longer, but, you know, it's early for me to get out of bed, so we'll keep it for an hour from 10 to 11, and that'll be central time, and it's fun to do. You know, the fans want something to do in the mornings when they get up. If they're in Brookings and Rapids, and even in Sioux Falls, I've done it before. They get up, they sit down, have their coffee, maybe have some breakfast, and sit and listen to the show for an hour, and it's a fun time. So we'll do that for the girls Friday and Saturday morning, and then next week for the boys Thursday, Friday, and Saturday morning.
Excellent. Steve, thanks for joining us.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Scott.
We've got coverage all weekend also, too. We've got AA basketball. We'll see the entire tournament on Channel 90. The A's will be available on Channel 91. Class B's Channel 400. So find your favorite team. Go Colonels. Also, as a kind of precursor to it, we're going to be doing the Colonels season recap on Wednesday. So we'll have all the games that we've had on Channel 90 throughout the season if you didn't have enough basketball on your hands.
Nice.
Steve, where can people find you? I mean, you're everywhere, man. You're,
sure.
I mean, Twitter, Facebook,
yep.
When are you on air?
Yep. I'm actually on Q107, 107.3 FM, 7 to 10 in the mornings. You can follow me on Twitter, at Q107 Steve Morgan. I do that frequently, as you know, your followers.
There's a lot of knowledge dispensed at
sometimes,
that
place. Sometimes, yeah. You can find me on Facebook, at Captain's Crew on Facebook. We do that as well. You know, sports are on AM 1490 KORN for all the Colonels. I do all the Colonel stuff. I mean, we're talking volleyball, basketball, baseball, football.
Wrestling.
Wrestling. We do it all. We try to anyways to keep update what's going on with the Colonels. You know, just like Mitchell Telecom does, it's a great to see it on Channel 90. I didn't realize you had it all on 90, 91, and 400. And
yeah, we work with South Dakota Public Broadcasting,
very
actually.
Nice.
And so we pick up their feed, and it's usually the stuff that gets sent to their webcast. You know, they webcast everything.
Yes.
And so we found a way that we can take their webcast and carve it out as a television channel. And away it goes.
Pop
so
it
we
up.
End up picking
fans
up all
love
that
it.
Stuff.
Yeah, fans will love it, indeed. So yeah, if you can't make it, tune in the TV, and of course, if you are going to make it, come on up and share on the Colonels up in Brookings or your favorite team in Huron or Spearfish, wherever you're at.
Yeah.
So.
Very good. It's State Basketball Week, and get out there and enjoy. Go Colonels.
Absolutely. Thanks, Scott.
Thanks, Steve. Free royalty music by danosongs.com.